Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to this episode of La Liga Lowdown's club podcast series, where this time we'll be telling the story of Real Valladolid. I'm your host, Drew McTeer, and we've got some great guests coming up as we go through the story of the White and Violets. Before we get stuck right into Real Valladolid's origins, let's start off by listening to a couple of their greatest moments.
Somos de primera, Valladolid 1, Tenerife 0.
Cuidado que ha robado el Pucela. Borja, el pase para Mata. Venga, Mata, venga, Mata, venga, Mata, venga, Mata, 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 Mata.
We heard there the sounds of a couple of their many promotions into Spain's top division, the most recent coming when they came up in 2017. We'll hear all about those promotions and the club's other successes in more detail as we spool back to how it all started, to the birth of Real Valladolid. We've got Paco Pollet coming up to start us off on the Real Valladolid story after we enjoy a quick listen in to the club hymn.
In their history, Real Valladolid have won 3 Segunda División titles, 4 Tercera División titles, 1 Copa de la Liga and 1 Copa Federación Española. Nicknamed Pucela, they've achieved moderate success over their years and are a very proud club. Football arrived in Valladolid thanks to Julio Alonso, a native who brought it with him upon his return from England. The city's first club came to be in 1904, a short-lived operation by the name of Valladolid Football Club. It wasn't until the 1920s, however, that Valladolid began to take football seriously. The Federación Castellano-Leonesa was founded in 1923, shortly after which came clubs like Sociedad Deportiva Ferroviaria, Club Deportivo Español, UD Luises, Rubia FC, Iberia FC, Sociedad Real Unión Deportiva, Unión Deportiva and Titan FC. The idea of forming La Liga gathered pace around 1927, with Valladolid taking a keen interest in it. Español, on a visit from Barcelona, took on a team of players compiled from the local Español side and Real Unión Deportiva in 1928, after which talk of a merger between the two deepened. Real Valladolid Deportivo was born shortly after, with Pedro Zuluaga Mañueco elected the president. The club started life off in the third tier of the Spanish footballing pyramid in 1929. Their first campaign was mediocre, seeing them finish sixth, and when the division disappeared the following season, they pitched up in the Tercera. Real Valladolid Deportivo finished as runner-up in the Tercera in both 1930 and 1931, changing their name to Club Valladolid Deportivo in the summer of the latter after the establishment of the Second Republic. They won their group in 1933 only to miss out on promotion after a playoff semi-final defeat to Zaragoza FC, but achieved it the following season led by players like López, Irigoyen, Sañudo and Gabilondo. The club finished their first Segunda campaign as runner-up, but the outbreak of civil war in July 1936 suspended activity for 3 years. They returned after its culmination with another new name of Real Valladolid Deportivo and retained their second flight status for 5 seasons until suffering relegation back to the Tercera in 1944. By now, they were playing in the bigger Estadio Municipal, but it still took them 3 years to escape the third tier. They won the division in 1946, only to lose the final of the promotion playoff, but they rallied to ascend the following season. Valladolid won the Segunda in their first season back to gain direct promotion to the Primera División, keeping their place at Spanish football's top table for 10 consecutive seasons thanks to the efforts of players like Lesmes Primero, Lesmes Segundo and Matito. They also made it to the final of the Copa del Generalísimo for the first time in 1950, only to lose 4-1 to Athletic Club. The Estadio Municipal was renamed Estadio José Zorrilla the following year, with Valladolid winning the Copa Federación 1-0 the year after that, after beating Club Deportivo Cacereño 1-0 in the final, thanks to a goal from Ricardito. This era came to a close in 1958, however, when they were relegated back to the Segunda and became somewhat of a yo-yo club. Valladolid finished as runner-up in the Segunda in 1962 to come back up, beating Real Club Deportivo Español in the promotion playoff. The following campaign was the best in the club's history, with Real Valladolid finishing 4th under Antonio Ramallets. They were relegated the following season, however, beginning a 16-year exile from the Primera. Real Valladolid finally managed to secure a return to the Primera in 1980 with the Nuevo Estadio José Zorrilla, the club's current home, opening in time for the Spain-hosted 1982 World Cup. The club won their first match there 1-0 against Athletic Club, thanks to a goal scored by Jorge Alonso. On the pitch, the 80s were a decade marked by the club's struggle to retain their top-flight status, but it also brought the only elite title to the club's name, the 1984 Copa de la Liga, a summer tournament that ran for 4 editions in the 1980s. It was essentially Spain's short-lived version of a League Cup. They won that after beating Real Zaragoza, Sevilla, Real Betis and, in the final, Atlético de Madrid. The Blanquivioletas finished 6th in 1989 to qualify for Europe, also reaching the final of the Copa del Rey only to lose 1-0 to Real Madrid. That team was led by players like Minguella, Moré, Gonzalo, Moyá, Caminero, Jankovic and Fonseca and was extremely fun to watch. They made it to the quarterfinal of the Cup Winners' Cup the following season before losing in a penalty shootout to Monaco. Unfortunately, Real Valladolid were relegated back to the Segunda in 1992, something they managed despite having the famous Colombian duo of René Higuita and Carlos Valderrama among their ranks. They became Real Valladolid SAD that year, with Marcos Fernández taking over as their largest shareholder, and they returned to the Primera at the first time of asking. They won just 8 games the following season, however, and were relegated again, only to be saved, alongside Albacete Balompié, by the Spanish Football Federation's decision to expand the Primera to 22 clubs. They made the most of that, finishing 7th in 1997 to qualify for the UEFA Cup, beating FK Skonto before losing to FK Spartak. The club closed out the millennium by officially changing their name to Real Valladolid Club de Fútbol SAD, and that remains their official name to this day.
Thanks, Paco. So that was Real Valladolid's 20th century story, but let's move on now to hear about the more recent twists and turns and Pucela tales. This is a club that now famously has Ronaldo as a majority shareholder and president, which is obviously very cool, but how did that come about? We'll find out with Roman de Arca.
After a consistent run in the Spanish top tier, Real Valladolid were relegated to Segunda División in the 2003-2004 campaign. They would return, but never remaining more than three seasons in a row, making it difficult to recover the stability the club once had in La Liga. In their first season back down in the Spanish second division, Los Pucelanos finished 6th, 13 points away from the top 3, which were given direct access to La Liga. The following 2004-2005 season, things went much worse, despite a good start thanks to which they were 3rd in the standings by the end of December. The same month in which Aritz Aduriz departed to Athletic Club, the Basque team was in dire need of a striker given their terrible start in La Liga, even flirting with relegation. So they spent €3 million to bring Aduriz back home and gave Los Pucelanos a nice economic boost, but at the same time weakening their offensive capacities. Once Aduriz left, Real Valladolid would keep up their good results for a month or so, but would start free-falling from February onwards, ending the season in a disappointing 10th position. But they would bounce back the following campaign with José Luis Mendilibar on the bench to become an unstoppable side in Segunda, winning the league title to obtain direct promotion after achieving 88 points and setting a new record at the time. But back in La Liga, Valladolid never had it easy. They accomplished their objective of avoiding relegation, although they suffered right until the very end, missing out on the drop by just 3 points. In that 2007-2008 campaign, their most impressive feat was scoring the quickest goal in La Liga history against Espanyol, which still holds nowadays. In what looked like a rehearsed play, Joseba Llorente darted off towards Iñaki Lafuente's goal as soon as he played the ball to his teammate Víctor in the kickoff. Víctor then pretended he was going to pass the ball backwards, but quickly turned around and sent a long ball forward to Llorente, who just needed two touches to lob it over Lafuente. This took just over 7 seconds and Valladolid would go on to win the game by 2-1. The team seemed to improve the next season, even closing on European positions for a while. But their good form suddenly ran out and in the last 11 games they were incapable of winning. The consequences were severe, meaning that in the last match day they were 2 points away from the drop zone facing Real Betis, who were also fighting for their lives. The final result was a 1-1 draw, which was enough for Los Pucelanos, but condemned Betis to Segunda. But after 2 consecutive seasons just avoiding relegation, Valladolid eventually succumbed in 2010. Since Mendilibar's departure earlier that year, until halfway through 2011, Onésimo, Javi Clemente, Antonio Gómez, Javier Torres, Abel Resino and Miroslav Djukic all sat on the club's bench. A total of 7 different managers in just 1.5 years was proof of the internal instability which also impacted the club's finances. A debt of almost €40 million forced President Carlos Suárez to file for insolvency proceedings near the end of 2011. In fact, Real Valladolid owed its players 3 months' worth of salaries and even had the lights cut off in their facilities, forcing the players to use their mobile phones in order to be able to change in the dressing room. But despite all the complications, the players still focused on their objective of returning to Primera, and actually succeeded with Djukic just 2 years after their relegation. They finished 3rd, but this time had to go through the playoffs that had been introduced the previous season. In the semi-final, they comfortably dispatched Córdoba with a 3-0 score on aggregate, and then defeated Alcorcón 2-1 on aggregate to seal their promotion. Although Real Valladolid would only last 2 seasons before dropping down to Segunda, for the 7th time in their history in the 2013-2014 campaign. They almost made it a quick return after making it to the playoffs immediately, but they lost to Las Palmas in the semi-final. Truth was, this time the wait would go on for much longer. It would take them 4 full seasons to escape Segunda, and they were even at risk of falling to the Spanish 3rd tier in 2016. But they avoided tragedy and ultimately returned to La Liga in 2018 with Sergio González leading them to success in the playoffs for promotion. As a first division team, Ronaldo Nazario became the primary shareholder after buying 51% of the club from former president Carlos Suárez, who would remain as the Brazilian's right-hand man. Valladolid gradually improved in Ronaldo's first 2 seasons as president, finishing 16th and then 13th the following year, their best result in the Spanish top tier in the last 18 years. Valladolid were then expected to keep on with their improvement after being one of the clubs to spend more money in the summer transfer market, but despite the efforts, the relegation battle agony seems to keep following them.
Yeah, Real Valladolid are one of those clubs that were born to be in the middle of either a relegation battle or a promotion push. So we've heard now all about the events that made Real Valladolid the club they are today. Let's now discuss some of the individuals who have made them what they are. We'll do that with Alan Feely, who has picked out three Real Valladolid legends to talk about. Over to you, Alan.
Every club is marked by their legends, and Real Valladolid are no different. Football clubs are organisations compiled of memories, experiences, and personalities, especially those who don't have a stacked trophy cabinet. Here are three of Pucela's most iconic figures. José Pepe Morey Bonet joined Valladolid in 1976 after 5 years with Barcelona B. The Catalan midfielder, born in La Medla del Valles, is closely tied to the club as both a player and a coach. As the former, he spent 8 years at Valladolid, playing 374 competitive games and scoring 48 goals. Pepe retired in 1988 at 35, having served as part of the Valladolid side that won the 1984 Copa de la Liga. Immediately, he took charge of Valladolid B, coaching them for 12 years. During the 12 years, however, he'd often take the reins of the senior side on an interim basis, such as in and between 1989 and 1990, 1994, 1995, and 2001 and 2003, even coaching his own son, Xavier. He also worked in the capacity of an assistant manager during that time. Pepe left Valladolid in 2003, embarking on brief stints in charge of Tenerife and Castellón before effectively leaving the spotlight of Spanish football in 2007. Luis Mariano Minguella Muñoz spent his entire playing career at Valladolid. Born in Frumales, a small village in Segovia, in 1960, he joined the club in 1977 at the age of 17. A midfielder, Luis Minguella ended up making 366 appearances for Pucela, scoring 24 goals. He made two appearances for La Rayita, Spain's under-21 side, in 1981, and earned a cap for La Roja, Spain's senior side, in 1989, playing in a friendly victory over Poland. With Valladolid, Minguella earned his best campaign in the season preceding his sole international appearance, scoring a career-high 5 goals as the club finished sixth and made it to the final of the Copa del Rey. Like Pepe, he was also part of the 1984 Copa de la Liga winning side, but unlike Pepe, he didn't go into coaching. Instead, Minguella went into politics, serving as mayor of Laguna de Duero for the People's Party between 2011 and 2015. Alen Petrnić is the non-Spanish selection. Born in Zagreb in what was then Yugoslavia back in 1972, he began his professional career with Dinamo Zagreb in 1989. Inclusive of a loan to compatriot Segesta, he spent 6 years at home before trying his luck on foreign shores, landing in Valladolid in 1995. Petrnić ended up staying in Spain for the rest of his career, playing there for the next 8 years until retirement in 2003. He spent 5 years at and made 153 appearances for Pucela, scoring 55 goals for the club. The striker is Valladolid's all-time record goalscorer in La Liga, with his goal total leaving him behind only Sevilla and Real Madrid man Davor Šuker as a Croatian with the most goals in Spanish football's top flight. Petrnić's best moment in Pucela's colours came in 1996, when he netted a club record 5 times in an 8-3 win at Real Oviedo that helped Valladolid avoid direct relegation that season. He finished the season fourth in the Pichichi race with 23 goals. The marksman earned international recognition during his time at the Estadio José Zorrilla, playing once for Croatia B and twice for Croatia in 1999. He left Valladolid the following season for Real Zaragoza, where he finished his playing career inclusive of a loan spell at Real Murcia.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So those were some of the legends who have shone at the Estadio José Zorrilla over the years. Let's now hear about the fans who have been there to see it all. The loyal Real Valladolid supporters who have followed the team through the good and the bad. Real Valladolid fan Martin Devlin joins the podcast now to tell us all about the matchday experience in the city and about the passion of this fan base.
Matchday at the Estadio José Zorrilla is a unique experience which I would urge anyone with an interest in Spanish football to find out more about. Why? Well, several reasons. Firstly, and most importantly, the people. The city of Valladolid is kind of off the beaten track of the Spanish football map. That's not a bad thing though, as you know that those people who attend the matches are genuine fans. There's no football tourism here, no glory hunting. It's for the love of the badge, passion without the arrogance. Success has been in short supply over the years, so we're talking about supporters who turn up religiously because they have had that love passed down to them through the generations. Families who have huddled up together in one of the coldest arenas through thick and thin. Yes, they've been there in the searing August heat, cheering on their team against the big boys, but they've also turned out in their droves in the dark winters while struggling in the Segunda. It's real, it's authentic. There are no museums, no megastores, no third or fourth kits or superstars endorsing fizzy drinks. What you have is a local club whose fans are loyal and unwavering because that's in their DNA. Secondly, the stadium. The José Zorrilla is a throwback, a proper football ground. Built for the 82 World Cup, it was immediately thrown onto the global stage for that reason. Nowadays, it's kind of like your first car, a bit beat up on the outside and in need of some TLC in general, but fill it with your friends and there's nothing like it. Outside, there's plenty space to accommodate fan zones and there's a terrace at the training pitches which makes a great spot for supporters to meet and mingle prior to matches. When the team bus arrives, it's funneled down a narrow route and fans line the fences with flares, songs and confetti to create a stunning atmosphere to welcome the Pucela players. Inside the stadium, climbing the stairs and stepping out to catch the first glimpse of the pitch and that unique purple seating makes it unlike any other ground that you might have visited before. I actually get chills just thinking about it. The matchday atmosphere was improved by several renovations which took place in the summer of 2019. The lowering of the playing surface and the removal of the 80s-style moat that surrounded it meant that several rows of seating could be added. This not only increased the capacity for fans, but it brought them closer to the action. The away section was moved, making the entire Zona Este solely for Pucela supporters, and it's this stand which the players see first as they emerge from the tunnel. To their left, the Fondo Norte is where the most animated fans reside, with their banners, flags and loud hailers, and the often organised tifos or huge violet and white striped flags. Okay, the results on the field haven't gone their way this season, but Real Valladolid is a team of the people, modest but intensely proud of who they are and where they're from.
Thanks for that, Martin. All of this then has been the story of Real Valladolid. I hope you've enjoyed learning about it, and I want to thank Paco Pollitt, Roman de Arquer, Alan Feely and Martin Devlin for their contributions to it. I've been your host, Jim McTeer, and we are La Liga Lowdown. You'll find us online and on social media. For now, thanks for listening along today, and I hope you'll join us again soon for another episode.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.